as we commit this hour and a half into your hands. As we look to you now, in the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, Joel.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for coming today virtually. So it's been 3 weeks since we have been in Genesis. We took a few weeks, so I thought maybe it'd be good to just review a little bit before we get into Genesis chapter 13. But if you remember back there in earlier, Noah, you know, he came out of the ark, and after, you know, being after the flood, coming out of the ark there to a new earth, you know, cleansed from all the wickedness. It was a new beginning, all great possibilities of starting over this pristine new world that he was walking onto out of the ark with his family. But it didn't take long for mankind to rebel again. And if you remember the Tower of Babel, you know, the inhabitants of the earth did not want to obey the Lord. There was rebellion. And, you know, they built the tower. Of course, God put an end to that. And then we see in Genesis 11, it says in verse 9, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." So we see that the Lord scattered the people, confused their language, and these people then begin to form their own nations with their own languages. And it's not too long after that they fall into idolatry. And then we see there in chapter 12, the Lord begins to form his own nation. The Lord has a plan. And, you know, that's something that we can always trust him for. He always has a plan. He's doing something. He's working. He's working in the past with these events of the world. You know, mankind's rebellion does not foil his plan, his program. You know, it continues to show that mankind, apart from him, can do nothing. Mankind, apart from him, will fail over and over and over again. Yet God is merciful, and God begins anew. And we see him beginning here in chapter 12. So I'll just read a few passages from 12 again, just as a review, and then we'll get into 13. Genesis 12, 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So the Lord calls Abram out. He calls him out from the world. He calls him out from his country, out from his family, from his identity. He calls him out to something great. It says, "And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So the Lord called out this man, Abram, and he gave him a promise that he would make him a great nation. Like I said, God he's forming his own nation. And this nation is built on faith. Abraham, he's the father of faith. Take a look at Acts 7. And again, this is just review. Acts 7. I love this when Stephen, there before the council, he gets an opportunity to speak there in Acts 7. They took him to the council. They set up false witnesses. Chapter 7, verse 1. "Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said," Stephen said, "men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. So when Stephen had an opportunity to share with these people, the council, he went back to Abraham. He went back, something that they had in common. This wasn't something that came out of nowhere. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come from just drop out of the sky. This was a continuation of God's plan and purpose, beginning with Abraham. Again, take a look at Galatians 3. And Stephen could hearken back to Abraham, hearken back to him and walk them through the history of the nation of Israel and bring it all to culmination of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done for them and how that was all part of the plan. In Galatians 3:8, it says, Paul writing here, Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So we can look back at this man, Abraham, Abram, and be encouraged, the father of faith. So as we read God's dealing with this man, we can learn lessons of faith. We can learn how this man walked before God and how he made choices for the Lord. You know, in Hebrews 11:8 says he went out not knowing where he was going. I love that. It's the path of faith, the way of faith, following the Lord, not knowing where it all leads, not knowing always, but trusting. So we can hearken back to him and in his life and see these lessons for us today. So he obeyed. Genesis 12, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So he obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. And then in 12:6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So God showed him, this is the land that I will give you. And he pitched his tent. And really, the tent, it's a picture of, he's a pilgrim. He's not laying down deep roots in this world. He's a pilgrim. He's a stranger and a pilgrim. He doesn't belong here. And he's going somewhere. And that's really what a stranger and pilgrim is. And we'll talk about that later. But he pitched his tent near Bethel. And Bethel means house of God. Abram wanted to be with the Lord. He pitched his tent near the house of God. And then we have something that happens here. This, as I mentioned, these lessons of faith. And there's more in as we go on, but there in verse 10, 12:10, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So here's something that happens to Abram. He follows God. He does what he's supposed to do. He obeys, and yet his circumstances change, and it's a grievous famine. You know, just a side note here, there's many teaching today, many teachers today that will say that, you know, if you follow the Lord, everything's going to be great. You know, you're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You know, there's even a book out. It's called Your Best Life Now. Your Best Life Now. If you just obey and walk by faith, everything's going to be wonderful. If you're having financial or physical hardships, you are not trusting the Lord enough. Or there's sin in your life. you need to give more money to some ministry and God will pay you back tenfold. If I give 100, God will somehow give me back 1,000. So I need to give and give and, you know, all these sorts of things. This, of course, is a huge error, and it stumbles many people. We see very quickly the path of faith has hardships. The path of faith, often we run into problems and issues, and God uses those issues to change us, to cause us to trust Him more. That's what the path of faith is. The path of faith isn't just a bed of roses and everything's wonderful. It's hardship to teach us to trust Him. And that's what we see in Abraham. We see God working in his life so that Abram would trust Him because He had a plan for him. And as we continue on through Genesis, we'll see the wonderful lessons that he learned and, you know, trials. Yeah, temptations, failures. Yet God is right there to forgive, to lift up, to move forward. So we have trials, we have hardships. Take a look at 1 Peter 1. And actually, Brother John just spoke on this. 1 Peter 1, 6. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When the Lord appears, that trial of our faith will be manifested, and we'll see what it accomplished in our lives. That those times that we trusted Him when it was hard, those things that happened in our lives that at the time it was so terrible, and yet we kept our eyes upon Him, we will see what those things accomplished in our lives. That eternal weight of glory that will be there for us, because we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. Another verse here real quick, 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Couldn't be any more clear than that. We live for Him. There will be trials and temptations and persecutions. So, how do we deal with these trials as they come in this path of faith that we walk, the way of faith, we choose to go forward following Him, and we run into a trial? How do we deal with that? It comes down to one word, trust. We trust Him. Proverbs 3, this is one of those verses that I think everyone learns in Sunday school. It's one of those verses that a child can understand, yet we never grow out of it. We always come back. We always need to come back to this verse. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Like I said, it's one of those verses we all should know. And, you know, very simple. Trust Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, what happens here when Abram sees the famine? He takes matters into his own hands. He looks to the world to find relief from this famine. He left the path of faith, and he went to Egypt. And we shouldn't be too hard on him. How often have I, you know, out of fear, try to take matters into my own hands, try to avoid some kind of a trial, begin to scheme how to get out of it. We've all done it. We've all been there. But doesn't make it right when we depart that path of faith and we go forward in our own understanding, our own ideas, and we end up far away. We end up in Egypt. And often in Scripture, Egypt is a picture of the world, a picture of the worldly ways, and bondage to sin, those types of things is really the picture of Egypt. So on the way to Egypt, he begins to scheme about his wife. Oh no, as he's walking down there, realizing, I need to come up with a plan. You know, I made this choice out of fear to go to Egypt, and now more fears start to fill my heart. And he starts to scheme. Okay, I'm going to lie. I'm going to tell them that she's my sister and not my wife, because they'll kill me and they'll take her. So we make a choice out of fear. It just leads us to more fear. And, you know, again, he faces some real consequences for making this choice. Instead of trusting in the Lord, putting his family in danger, expose them to the worldliness of Egypt, and that has a tremendous effect on Lot, and that's something that we'll see later on in these chapters. Abram, he lost his testimony. He's supposed to be this man of faith walking with the Lord, and he's lying to the Pharaoh, and even the Pharaoh understands that this is wrong. Why would you do this to me? He failed his wife, put her in danger. So Abram failed Sarai, but the Lord did not fail her. She trusted the Lord for her husband. That's another just a lesson there, walking in this way of faith for a wife, trusting the Lord for her husband, even when he makes a boneheaded move to trust God. She understood God's chain of command and understood to obey her husband. God will protect her. You know, it says in verse 17, it says in Genesis 12:17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. He didn't do that for Abram's sake. He did it for her sake, to protect her. I think that's a wonderful reminder of God protecting his people as they trust him and serve him and do things his way and honor his government. 1 Peter 3, First Peter 3, 5 through 6. 1 Peter 3, 5 through 6. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are you, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Or another translation says, as long as you do what is right and do not give way to fear. You know, trusting God in the midst of these trials and fearful events. But you see, God protected Sarai. Sarah, he protects us in this path of faith. And we also... So Abram, he lost his testimony. He failed Sarai. He put his family in danger. And Lot, you know, exposed Lot to the worldliness of of Egypt, and Lot, his heart really never left Egypt. And as I mentioned, we'll see this later. But he also gained some things in Egypt there. In 12:16, it says, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. So he became rich when Pharaoh took Sarai to be his wife. He gave him tremendous riches in payment for her. And also it says there that he got maid servants from Egypt. And does anyone know who that may have been? A maid servant that followed him out of Egypt that brings some trouble later on. That's Hagar. Hagar is an Egyptian, and that's most likely where she came from. So we may take these detours in our walk of faith, and there could be consequences. So that's why it's so important to stay on the path, walking with him. And we do see these consequences come up later on in the life of Abraham. So he left Egypt because of this, because of the famine. And, Pharaoh, he kicks him out of Egypt. After he realizes what he's done and the plagues that came upon Egypt, Pharaoh commanded his men, verse 20. Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. So all the stuff that he got from Egypt, he just take it with you, just get out of here, we don't want you here anymore. So now we're at Genesis 13. Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So Abram, he went back to where he was before. That same point where he was fearful because of the famine, he ended up right back in that same spot. Was the famine still going on? I don't know. It doesn't seem like a very long time has passed from when he left. He went to Egypt. He certainly got kicked out of Egypt and had to leave before he intended. He most likely would have wanted to stay there much longer for the famine to leave or to be done. So he went back to where he was. Perhaps the famine was still going on. But he returned back to the Lord, back to where he came from. And you can always return to the Lord. No matter where you've been or how long you've been away, we can always come back to the Lord. He is always there waiting for us to come back to him if we take the wrong path. And often he brings us right back to where we were at that point of departure. That's that point where we decided to walk away because of a trial or something that we were facing in our lives. That we didn't want to deal with. He brings us right back to that spot, right back to that famine. Now, are you going to trust me this time? The same exact issue, the same exact point. We can trust him to deal with us in that way. Take a look at Psalm 130. Psalms 130. It says, I'll just start at the beginning. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If you, the New King James, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, or if you should take note of iniquities or preserve iniquities or hold it against us, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. So Abram went back and he built the altar, or he went back to where the altar was. And he called on the name of the Lord. There's forgiveness with him. We can always go back to him. It says that you may be feared, it says. He gives us a reason or ground for worship by bestowing forgiveness. We come every Sunday for the Lord's Supper to remember that there is forgiveness with him. That the Lord Jesus Christ took those iniquities upon himself. He doesn't hold it against us anymore. He put them all on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that the handwriting that was against us, he nailed it to the cross. All those sins, all those iniquities, all of those sins that we did in thought, word, or deed, he nailed it to the cross. And he doesn't hold it against us anymore. There's forgiveness with him, so we can worship him. So Abram coming back to where he back to the beginning, where he that point of departure, he found that joy in restoring that, having that fellowship restored with the Lord. Take a look. There's some other verses here. It's Isaiah 55. Take a look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon if we return to him. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, that's something that Abram learned is, you know, we can't allow fear to drive us or to overwhelm us and make choices because of it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then it says in verse 27, well, take a look at 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. We stay on the path. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You know, that's the wonderful thing. If we find ourselves taking that step off of the path, we can just get right back on. Remove thy foot from evil. Get right back on the path when we find ourselves wandering. And then one more verse here, then we'll move on from this. But Revelation 2. Revelation 2, verse 5. This is the Lord speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left your first love. And then verse 5, Revelation 2, 5, it says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So sometimes we have to remember You know, it says, remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works. You know, sometimes we need to, you know, if we find our heart growing cold or we find ourselves wandering, think back to when you met the Lord, when you first realized your sins were forgiven, and the joy when you first got saved. You know, think about that. What it was like, you know, the decisions you made. People thought you were nuts. People thought I was nuts. you know, I remember, you know, I was living in an apartment and there were some things in my life that were not honoring to the Lord. I had some things in my apartment that were not honoring to the Lord. And I was in an apartment. There was a, sliding door that went out to a kind of a patio, and there was a dumpster just like right there that people would throw their garbage out, and I just was throwing things into the garbage. I wasn't like going through it and making sure, oh, is this okay or not. I just wanted a clean cut from everything that had distracted me from him, or anything that could in the slightest chance be dishonoring to him. I just got rid of all of it. You know, sometimes we need to go back to that, the joy and the peace and this, the overwhelming love that we had for the Savior those times, and to remember that. And if we find ourselves wandering or like it said, you know, leaving your first love, think back to that time and like you said, the choices you made and the things you did. We have to remember those things and go right back to it. And that's what Abram did here in chapter 13. He went right back to where he was at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, right there next to the house of God. So Genesis 13, back there in, beginning there in verse 5. So we have another lesson of faith here. So the first lesson of faith that we saw in 12 was the the famine, and we have another test of faith here, verse 5 in Genesis 13:5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. So all of this abundance that they had gotten from Egypt, there was, the land couldn't bear all of the riches that they had between Abram and Lot. You know, the abundance of possessions brought strife into their lives. Take a look at Proverbs 15. You know, maybe they should have just left some of those things behind. Was it worth all the trouble? Proverbs 15, verse 16. It says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's better to have little and have the fear of the Lord, honoring the Lord in your life, than having great treasure, but with all the trouble that it brings along with it. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs, or some translation says cabbage, or vegetables. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is, than a fatted ox and hatred therewith. You know, you'd much rather be with, you know, enjoying the fellowship of loved ones with vegetables than having a fatted calf and filled with hatred toward one another. That's what we see here. The strife that comes from the abundance of their possessions, the riches of Egypt that came along with them. There's another aspect of this strife as well. I think it's a type. I think of Abram as a type of a spiritual individual, one who is obeying the Lord and walking with the Lord. And Lot, he is a type of a carnal believer. And we find out in 1 Peter, I believe it is, or 2 Peter, it says just Lot, so righteous Lot. So Lot was a carnal believer. He was someone whose heart was in the world. And there's a strife there between the spirit and the flesh, the world and Abram's desire to follow the Lord and the worldly ways of Lot, the flesh and the spirit. There is strife between these things. Take a look at Galatians 5. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So there's this war going on between the flesh and the spirit. In a sense, that's the strife that's going on between Abram and Lot. The worldly ways and the spiritual. So back there in Genesis 13. So this strife occurs in Abram, verse 8. So Genesis 13:8, "And Abram says unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if you take the right, then I will go to the left." So Abram, trusting the Lord in this situation, he's learned in this path of faith, he's learned to trust the Lord in this situation and to give first choice to Lot. That says a lot. You know, Abram, being the uncle, he could have taken whatever he wanted. He could have, he had the authority and the position to take whatever he wanted, but he left it in God's hands and he gave Lot the first choice. And then it says in verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." So Lot, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and he was awestruck at the well-watered plain of Jordan, and it was so beautiful, and it was like Egypt. And that's what I had mentioned before, that his heart really never left Egypt. That worldliness. He was attracted to that, to the world, attracted to Egypt. And he saw this and it reminded him of that. And that's what he took. He lifted up his eyes. So he made his choice based upon what he saw. He leaned on his own understanding. He saw what looked good, that outward appearance, even though it was right there near Sodom and Gomorrah. 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life." You know, that's the lust of the eyes. He lifted up his eyes and he made his choice based on the lust of the eyes. And then it says, and then it says, So he made his choice. And it's verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. So he made this choice based upon what he saw with his eyes. He ended up closer to Sodom. It says, verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He made this choice based on the lust of the eyes, and it put him in a position to face even more temptation every day. Imagine every time you open your tent flap, there is Sodom calling you. attractive to the flesh. Every day he would see this. Every day. The next time we see Lot, he lives in Sodom. He was no longer playing having this tent. He got rid of the tent, and he went to Sodom, and he was there. He put down his, ended up living there. Got rid of the tent. He was no longer that pilgrim on a journey. He had found his place of residence, Sodom. So next time we find him. So that was Lot. And we see what happens to Lot later on. And so we'll see as we go through Genesis, we'll see what happens to Lot. But Abram, he left it up to the Lord. He trusted God in this situation. And it says, so Lot lifted up his eyes, made his decision, right? Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look. Yeah. So now these are the eyes of faith. God tells Abram to open your eyes, lift up your eyes now and look. And these are the eyes of faith. And he says to him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I mean, it's all yours anyway, Abram. And I will make this thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. You know, after that separation from that which is flesh, after that separation from the worldliness of Lot, then he saw what God had in store for him. And he went to this place, the plain of Mamre. Mamre means abundance. And Hebron means fellowship. So God brought Abram to a place of abundant fellowship with him as Abram was walking in this way of faith, as he was learning these lessons of faith to his, and he saw his inheritance. Take a look at Hebrews 11. You know, what do we live for in this world? Are we looking to, move into Sodom, or are we strangers and pilgrims? Hebrews 11, talking about this hall of faith, hall of fame of faith, verse 13, Hebrews 11, 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. You know, that heavenly country that God is calling us to. As strangers and pilgrims on this earth, that's the way of faith. That's the path that we are to go. And we can look at Abram, and there's so many lessons that we can learn from him about this way of faith, and some of the pitfalls and some of the mistakes and some of the detours. But we can always go back to him and get back on the path. So yes, keep our eyes upon him, trust him, and through these situations and circumstances, he brings us to this abundant fellowship. So why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Abraham, the father of faith. We thank you that we can learn from him. Thank you, Lord, that your word gives us the good and the bad of these people, and we can see your faithfulness in their lives. And Lord, help us to be trusting you in this pilgrimage of our walk with you. We thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.